How do you do? The dictionary defines the word rehabilitate as restore to a good condition, make over in a new form. And that is correct as far as it goes. However, the important thing is who does the rehabilitating. Well, today we will meet a man who was truly restored to a good condition, made over in a new form, when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Nicely done, Victor. Hardly a sound.
Yeah. Now what, Red?
Just slip your arm in through that broken window and reach around and flip the latch on the door.
But what if someone catches us?
Nobody's going to catch us, kid. Even if they did, this is your first job. They put you to juvie home until you convince them you're rehabilitated.
Hey, well, that wouldn't take long. I can get rehabbed real quick.
That's the ticket. Now, come on, let's go.
From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the longest-running dramatic series in the history of broadcasting. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has been offering to all who come through the doors that never close food, clothing, shelter, and medical and dental care, regardless of age, race, or gender, and all without charge. Since 1950, Unshackled has been telling true stories of real people, and today is heard on over 1,150 radio outlets around the world. It is also translated and rebroadcast in various languages, always presenting true stories that address universal problems and provide the only true solution. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,550 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. There's a great deal written and said about the problem of rehabilitating criminals, especially young ones. The aim is to get a person to turn away from their old ways and old associates, to learn to be honest and useful, to make a living by legitimate means, and be a constructive member of the community. We will all agree that to accomplish this is to accomplish a great deal. But there is a man for whom all this was not enough. His destiny was far greater than mere rehabilitation. And we'll tell you how he reached his highest destiny. This story was first told in 1964, but its truth is timeless, so we're retelling it today. This is the true story of Victor Amaretto from the classic files of Unshackled.
I've been hearing about rehabilitation most of my life. It isn't a word that either my parents would have used, however. They came to New York City from Naples, Italy when I was two and always spoke Italian at home. They had limited education, but they tried to enforce moral conducts that would make me an asset to them and to society. But my constant rebellion caused them to give me an ultimatum when I was 15. They told me to straighten up or get out. It meant the same as rehabilitate yourself or leave. I made my choice. I left home. I went to Manhattan, where I spent most of my time hanging out in pool rooms and becoming an apprentice in petty crime. I thought I was pretty smart as I began to make my own way in the world.
Hey, mister, I'm broke. I gotta go home. I need a nickel for the subway.
Yeah, so do I, kid. So do I. Now beat it.
You're a big-hearted guy.
Yeah, oh, hey, mister. I spent my last nickel. I still got to get home. I was wondering...
Yeah, where's home, kid?
Well, it's,
What's the matter? You having trouble telling a lie?
So I'll tell you the truth. I live in Yonkers.
Kid, take it from me. Never tell the truth when you don't have to. So what's your name?
Vito.
Vito, I'm afraid you're telling the truth again. You got to watch that.
Oh, anyway, my name's really Victor.
Well, sure. Vito, Victor, it's all the same. Tell me something, Vito, and this time I want to hear the truth.
Okay.
If I give you a nickel for the subway, are you going to really go home to Yonkers?
The truth?
That's right, the truth.
No, I'm not going home. I'm going to keep right on stopping guys and asking them for nickels, and maybe in another couple hours I'll have enough dough to rent a room.
That's the way I figured you. Huh. Okay, Vito, if all you need is money for a room, you can quit for the day right now.
I don't get you, mister.
I got a room right down the street. You can stay there.
Wait, what's the catch?
There is no catch. Maybe I could use a kid like you in my business. Well, you're going to stand here talking or you're coming home with me?
I'm coming with you.
Okay, come on.
Well, I stayed with the man whose name was Red. He didn't say much about the business he was in, but I noticed he didn't spend much time working at it. Most of the time, he stayed in a room. Some afternoons, he'd go out and put a few bets on the horses. And then one night, and fairly late, I saw he was getting ready to go out.
Hey, Red, what, you got a date or something?
Not exactly. I gotta go make a living, don't I?
I don't know. I've been wondering about that. You never seem to do much work.
Well, I'm working tonight, kid.
Oh, yeah? What kind of job?
Well, it's a real easy one, I hope. Anyway, that's how I've got it planned.
Well, when you coming back?
Don't wait up.
Morning?
Sooner. It'd be better, but we'll see you later, kid.
Hey, wait, can I help you?
No, not this time. Maybe one of these days, though. We'll see you. Good night, Vito.
Red was back in the room before I woke up the next morning. After that, he hung around for a couple of days, and then he went to work, and again, it was fairly late in the evening. The next day, my curiosity got the better of me. Well, Red, how'd the job go last night, huh?
Fine, kid, just fine.
Look, what kind of work do you do?
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, you take it easy most of the time. You've only worked two nights this week, but you always seem to have plenty of dough.
That's right. I always say, why knock yourself out working when you don't have to?
But you do work.
Hey, you don't see me panhandling like you were doing when I picked you up.
I know, and I can't figure it out. I mean, what do you do?
Well, you might say that I'm kind of a specialist.
Well, what kind of specialist?
I guess it won't do any harm to tell you, kid. Anyway, it's time you were learning the trade yourself.
Trade? What trade?
Best business there is. The law calls it burglary.
When I told Red I wanted to learn the business, he laughed. But a couple of days later, he took me out and enrolled me in a crime school. You think I'm stretching the truth? Not a bit. There actually was a crime school in New York that was probably the most thorough educational institution in the city. Oh, it didn't get much publicity. Didn't even have a regular location. It moved from one place to another so as not to attract attention. But the professors were some of the most successful criminals in town. The tuition was on a pay-as-you-learn basis. Our teachers helped us to plan and set up a practice job right down to the smallest detail.
All right, Vito. You got it fine so far.
Hey, good.
Now, here's the place where you got to break the window glass.
Okay,
it's a small piece of glass. It'll be easy.
Uh-huh.
It's in a door like this one. Let's see how you're going to handle it, okay?
Okay. You want me to break this glass?
Yeah, sure. You got everything
here.
You need.
Okay.
Now, remember, it's got to be quiet.
Okay. First, got the paper.
Yeah. And be sure it's stuck on good and solid.
Like this?
Maybe not.
I mean, what if some of it, falls and makes a noise or something?
Better you should find it out now, not when you get on the job, huh?
Okay, here goes.
Something went wrong, huh?
Yeah, sure, too much noise.
That's right. Here, I'll show you what you did wrong. After all, I want this job to turn out right. You're paying me half of what you make on it.
Earn while you learn, pay as you learn. That's how the school operated. Pretty soon I got to be what you might call the star pupil. Then I was ready to go on my first job with Red.
How you doing, Vito? Are you nervous?
Nervous? No, not yet. I can't wait to see how much we're going to get.
Now keep an eye out to make sure no one sees us when we go to the bank or when we come back out.
Yeah, Red, do you always have a partner?
That depends on the size of the job. You'll have to pay your teacher and then the merchandise has to be sold to the fence.
I think I'm going to do my jobs alone. That way the purse will be bigger.
Well, you do a few jobs with me, and then we'll see, kid.
Okay, Red.
Now get out the tools, kid. It's time to go to work. Come on.
After a few jobs with Red, I worked mostly alone. It was a simple matter of dollars and cents. To get rid of stolen merchandise, you had to sell it to a fence. Then if you got 15% of the retail value, you were doing good. Next, I had to pay my teacher. You know, I was young, tough, and had no special compunctions about violence in a line of work. I was completely self-centered. Although I was only 25 miles from home, I never went to see my parents, never contacted them to let them know that I was alive. Burglary's a business that requires careful planning, a cool head, and steady nerves. For a couple of years, I had all those qualities in abundance. But there were some close calls, and they began to haunt me.
The strain began to tell. My nerves, when they finally broke, everything went at once. Yeah, hello?
Hiya, Vito.
What is that, Red?
Yeah, it's me, kid. Voice from the past, huh? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. Haven't seen you around for a long time, Red.
Well, I've been taking a little vacation at government expense.
What do you mean, you been in the slammer?
Yeah, just for a little while. Nothing to it.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear from you, Red. What do you need, something or something?
Yeah, kid, listen. I know you've been soloing for a while, but I've got a big job coming up that I can use you on. Big payoff, too. What do you say? Are you in?
Tell you what, I got to think about it, Red. Let you know tomorrow, huh? What, are you still at the same place?
Same place. But hey, kid, don't wait too long. There are plenty of other guys who would love to work with old Red.
Yeah, I know. I'll call you, huh, Red? As I hung up the phone, fear gripped me. No matter how carefully you plan, the unexpected can't be entirely eliminated. My imagination began to torture me as I considered the possibility of a jail sentence. I wouldn't be as cool as Red if I were caught. That night I couldn't sleep at all, and by morning, I knew I was finished. Needless to say, I never called Red. Before noon, I was on my way out of New York and away from my former associates. I had no plans or particular destination and just kept moving. When money ran low, I traveled by freight train, a hitchhiked. In time, I arrived in Chicago looking pretty much like a tramp. As I left the freight yards to find a cheap hotel, I was picked up by the police and held overnight. That lodging for the night was the limit of Chicago's hospitality. In the morning, I was escorted to the door and given the city's official bum's rush.
We got nothing to hold you for, young man, but listen, and you listen good. You got 12 hours to get out of town, and we better not find you near the freight yards. So get moving. And remember, 12 hours.
We'll see how far Victor will go in just a moment. How do you take a depressed homeless man, probably addicted to drugs and alcohol, and turn him into a joyous and productive citizen? The men's division at Pacific Garden Mission knows the answer and is specialized in turning lives around for more than a century. Our motto is never give up on them. No matter how hopeless a man may seem when he comes to the old lighthouse, he is made in God's image, and nothing is impossible with God. Through a program of physical and spiritual nurture, each man begins to see that he has value and can change his circumstances through God's word and the help of caring friends. And sometimes a man will drop in for a meal and a night's rest and never return, but he will have heard the gospel before he leaves. Others profess faith in Christ and join the mission's Bible Academy, staying until they are strong in their faith. You can learn more about our men's division by visiting our website at www.unshackled.org, or you can write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
It was August 10, 1927. I headed back to the railroad yards to climb aboard the first freight train I could find. Life on the road was new to me, and I made all the mistakes. I walked, hitchhiked, and got on slow trains headed nowhere. Consequently, it took 3 full days to cover just a couple hundred miles. By that time, I looked as bad as the worst hobo on the road, so when I arrived in Springfield, Illinois, I knew the police would notice me. I hadn't gone 2 blocks when I felt I was being followed, and then just ahead, I saw a sign that read Jesus Saves on the building of the Washington Street Rescue Mission. I went inside and was welcomed to sit down and rest. No one asked me to move on. A little later, they started a service. They sang some songs I'd never heard before, and a couple of guys stood up and talked about how they'd been saved.
Fellas, I'm not a mission stiff who's taking a dive for the sake of 3 meals a day and a place to sleep. I'm not destitute. By the grace of God, I've got a place of my own to stay. With God's help, I pay my own way in the world. The only reason I come down here to the mission to tell my story is that it might encourage some of you to hear how Jesus set me free. I was an alcoholic and a lawbreaker. I spent time in prison. But instead of my life being ruined and ended, It just began when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I took him at his word by faith. He can do the same thing for you, too. But don't take my word for it. Take his. The word of God.
It was obvious to me that the speaker had experienced all that he shared with us. I thought about his words throughout the day. The staff at the mission was very different from the crowd I'd been hanging around with. Their expressions of love for us reminded me of my parents. My life was headed nowhere, and I couldn't stop it. Later that evening, the mission superintendent talked to us. Everyone called him Dad Brown. He kept his Bible open and turned to different sections as he talked.
Men, I'm reading to you from God's holy word in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, you may say, does that mean me? The answer is yes. I never knew an adult who wasn't heavy laden. We're heavy laden with worry and fear, with problems we can't solve and habits we can't break. Things out of the past haunt the present, and the troubles of today make us afraid of tomorrow. Now, you're here because your burdens are too heavy for you. But God chose us to point you to His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, sooner or later, almost everyone gets to the point where he says, "I've had enough. If somebody had just stopped the world, I'd get off." But when you're most discouraged, Jesus still says, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." He died to give you new life, and this life is an abundant life. But you must receive him by faith as your Lord and Savior. His birth, his death, and his resurrection provides to everyone the opportunity to be set free from that which has held you bound. Jesus will take your load of sin, troubles, and fears, and give you peace. Come to him today. He'll give you rest.
As the superintendent talked, I began to understand how wicked I was. I was so tired of a life I'd chosen and needed the rest that Jesus offered. The wrong I'd done filled my mind as I listened to both speakers. My heart was filled with regret, sorrow, and shame. I later learned that this was the beginning of repentance. When Dad Brown asked those who wanted to receive Christ to come forward, I was on my feet and walking with the others.
What's your name, young man?
It's Vito. Vito Honorato. I wouldn't mean nothing to you. Never been in Springfield before.
Well, son, do you want to pray? Ask God to forgive you for your sins and turn your life over to him?
Honest, mister, I don't know how. I know I want to be different. I'm ashamed of the way I lived.
Well, Vito, look at what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3. "There is none righteous. No, not one. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And then verse 24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." He knows what you've done, but he loves you just the same. He wants to give you a new life.
I want Jesus to be my Savior, Dad Brown. Would you pray with me?
Kneel down, son. Let's talk your problems over with God.
With Dad Brown beside me, I prayed that night and received that wonderful gift of salvation. I felt God's peace as I cried out to him to be forgiven for my sins. Afterward, Dad Brown gave me a small book containing the Gospel of John and a room on the second floor. I began reading at 10 o'clock and kept on and kept on. When I finally laid the book down, it was 5 o'clock Sunday morning. I'd read the wonderful account of Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world to save all men. Just a day earlier, I'd walked into the mission a frightened boy. A afraid of being picked up by the law and totally ignorant of the Bible. But 12 hours later, when I closed the Gospel of John, a few minutes after sunrise, I'd experienced the new birth that Jesus spoke of in a third chapter of the book. I was beginning a new life. And like any infant, I needed help. Dad Brown was always ready to give it.
Victor, are your parents still living?
Oh, yes, sir. They live in New York.
Well, do they know where you are?
No, sir.
When was the last time they heard from you?
Oh, not since I left home. That was more than 3 years ago.
Well, then how about sitting down and writing to them?
Neither of them can read or write English.
But certainly they have neighbors who can read.
Yeah, that's true.
Then write to them, son. First, to ease their minds about you, and second, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That was how I got in contact with my family again. Years later, they both made professions of faith in Christ after the Lord used me to tell them about Him. God used my fears, the ones that drove me out of New York and onto the road, to get me out of danger. I was about to learn a valuable lesson about His sovereignty. You see, a couple of weeks after being at the mission, a man stopped in with a New York newspaper. Hey, excuse me, mister, you mind if I take a look at your paper?
Huh? Oh, yeah, go ahead. It's a week old.
Oh, hey, that's all right. I've been away from New York so long, and it'll still be news to me. Whoa. Hey, what do you know about that? That's terrible.
What's the matter? Somebody die or something?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The man who gave me a place to stay when I left home is dead. The man who taught me my trade.
Oh, yeah? What happened to him?
During a robbery, tried to shoot it out with the police, and they killed him. If I'd stayed in New York, there's a good chance that I would have been killed with Red. I realized then that God had been moving in my life long before I reached Springfield. It was hard to believe, but with the life I'd been living. Yet when I read in my Bible in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," that verse would always have a special personal meaning to me. Now, at the beginning, we said that in my case, rehabilitation was not enough. By the world standards, though, I was rehabilitated. That is to say, that I had given up my old haunts and my old companions, turned away from crime, and I was ready to make an honest living. Even more, I was ready to be trained for Christian service. 7 weeks after my salvation, I began attending a Bible school in Chicago. It was during this time that I met Mel Trotter at Pacific Garden Mission.
This your first time in Chicago, Vito?
No, sir, Mr. Trotter, but the other time I was here was a lot different. I was given 12 hours to get out of town.
You have a divine purpose for being here this time, Vito. You've done a fine job in the street meetings we've conducted, and God is using your testimony every time you preach one of the services inside the mission, too.
You know, every time I give a testimony of God's grace in my life, I think of how the man at the mission in Springfield gave his testimony that day I walked in off the street.
Now, there's nothing more powerful than God at work in a man's heart.
I'm learning so much from you and Pa Taylor, Mr. Trotter. After I graduate, I want to serve God, just like you. I graduated in 1931 and moved back to the East and attended another college for 1 year. The next 8 years, I served as a missionary in the Western United States, and in 1941, I moved back to New York and was married there the next year. That's when my direction changed. I began to help my father-in-law in his cleaning, laundering, and tailoring business in Scarsdale. I learned the business, and in time, it became mine by inheritance. So there I was, a successful Christian businessman, and continued to be for 20 years. Who could doubt that I was completely rehabilitated? But I knew something was wrong. I'd stepped out of God's will for my life. I'd taken my hand from the plow, and I would never truly be at peace until I returned. I certainly had the opportunity. A friend, active in mission work and a placement of ministers, came to see me.
Victor, the Lord has blessed you in your business, but you can never be at peace until you completely yield to Him.
Look, I've been active in Christian work throughout my business career, serving on mission boards, doing pulpit supply. I even pastored a small church for 2 years, in addition to running my business.
But is that all God wants for you? Now look, Victor, there's a church in Grampian, Pennsylvania that needs a pastor very badly. Will you consider it?
No, I can't.
Or would you at least pray about it?
How far away is Grampian? I mean, it's more than 300 miles?
Yes, I'm afraid it is, but what does that have to do with praying for God's guidance?
I've made up my mind not to take any work that would make me move more than 300 miles from here.
Have you talked to God about that 300-mile limit, Victor?
Yeah, I told him the same thing. That's right, I wanted to do things my way. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. 2 years later, my wife was taken seriously ill, and I felt sure her sickness was from the Lord due to my disobedience. The doctor gave it to me straight.
Mr. Honorato, your wife has been one of your mainstays in your business, but she can't possibly go on. My advice is to sell out.
That was it. I sold my business for a fraction of its value. By the time I paid all my bills, I was broke, but finally ready to do God's will. That meant, first of all, forgetting my 300-mile limit. I expressed my willingness to go anywhere and was told of 13 churches and 2 missions that needed men. This time I waited for God's clear leading in the decision. That's how I became superintendent of a rescue mission in Dayton, Ohio. God greatly strengthened my wife, and she served as the mission secretary. Looking back over the years, I know that God has never taken his hand from me, even when I wasn't willing to obey him completely.
Victor Honorato was far more than a rehabilitated criminal. He was transformed. He received his ultimate rehabilitation in 1997 when he was ushered into the presence of the Lord whom he served so faithfully until his death. And friend, that transforming power of God is available to all who receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know more about how you can have this power in your own life, just contact Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. If these dramatizations of true stories of real people have come to be a blessing in your life, tell your friends when and where to listen. The manager of this station would also appreciate hearing from you. Just a note and say, thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2550. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. Your letter really does mean a great deal to us. That's Unshackled in care of Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And you can visit us on the World Wide Web at unshackled.org. If you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission at 312-922-1462.